bless the people. How many believe that's true? Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me tonight to the book of Psalm, chapter 63. Now, we preached out of 61 last Wednesday. Tonight, we're going to preach out of 63. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God. Psalm 63. Praise the Lord. We're going to read down to verse number 4 from verse 1. You get there, say amen. Praise the Lord. How many thankful for your Bible tonight? How many thankful for the privilege to read the Word of God? Amen. Are you thankful for the capacity to understand by means of the Spirit what God's saying to us out of the Word? Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. Follow along with me. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in Thy name. Father, we thank You tonight, dear God, for this privilege. We thank You for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We thank You tonight that we can gather in this place in the presence of the Lord. We thank You, Father, that we can gather on a Wednesday night and offer up sacrifices of praise and glory unto God. We thank You that You've been with us all day long. Lord, You've taken care of us. You've ministered to our needs and do minister. And Father, You've brought us together tonight in this place we've gathered. Lord, it is our desire now to sit down at the table of the Lord, to dine upon Thus saith the Word of the Lord. We pray, God, for that anointing necessary to speak to the hearts of the people. We pray, Father God, that every heart, every mind, every life would be attentive to what the Spirit of the Lord would say unto the church. Oh God, move upon us tonight, quicken us, challenge us, beckon us. Father, we'll give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, here is a man, this obvious, in the first portion of this great Psalm 63, this is David. In my subtitle, in my Bible, David's thirst after God's service in his sanctuary. Now, in this, this man is most probably by himself. He is in a place alone, seeking and worshiping the Lord. God pours into his spirit this psalm. Now, the psalms were prophetic words of praise, songs of praise. There were multiple psalmists that wrote these 115, I believe it is, psalms of the Bible. We know that David wrote a vast portion, Solomon, Moses, Asaph, all these. This is a psalm of David, the great psalmist of Israel. And obviously he is in a place by himself seeking the Lord. He says in a portion of our text, God, I want You to move on me like You do in the sanctuary. Amen. I want You to move on this place of solitude with You and I. I want You to move in glorious presence and fashion upon my life. Amen. It'd be as a man or a woman there in the home, there out in under the trees, wherever the case may be. He's alone with God, locked in prayer, seeking the face of God. God, I want You to move on my life. I want You to empower this time of prayer and supplication and adoration and praise. Fill my mind and fill my life with the glory of the Lord. Settle upon me with that same fire of Your presence as You would in the sanctuary. Let me feel that anointing as You come down and grace my life. Father, lift me up in Your holy presence, oh God. Sweep over my soul by Your divine spirit. Hear me, saints, what God wants to do in you is not contained in His sanctuary. Can you say amen? It is a must for every child of God that you have eruptive, spontaneous, glorious moments in His presence locked away in your own closet of prayer. Friends, I can tell you without doubt some of the greatest experiences I've had with God have been by myself in a time of prayer. Friends, every child of God ought to know how to pray alone. Every child of God ought to know how to worship alone. Every child of God ought to know how to come into the holy place without song or praise and worship. Amen. Every child of God ought to know what it is to study the Word of God without a teacher, to have the anointing come upon them as they read without a preacher. Amen. Nobody's sitting to attend to the words or the questions, but God Almighty is showing up in the holy place. If you believe it, can you say amen? Now the psalmist begins this lyrical prose. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Let me pause there for a moment. Early will I seek thee. Now, I remember several years ago, we were on the field as an evangelist. We were in Texarkana, Texas. And there in the revival, and I remember the night before, I suppose it was Sunday night, following the message, the home pastor made this statement. He said, we're going to, all the men of the church, going to gather here through this week of revival at 6 o'clock, and we're going to pray. Just come pray. I remember what I thought, well, I'm the evangelist. I need to join them. So I came, knelt down there. They had just enough lights on in the place so you wouldn't run into something. There wasn't any talking, no prayer requests. We just came to the altar, and we prayed. And when we got through, we left. And while I was at the altar, God began to speak to me that there was no moving out in the highways. The phone wasn't ringing. Conversation didn't fill our head. We got up out of bed, clothed ourselves, came to the house of God for prayer. While we were there, God spoke to me, son, at this early hour of the morning, here you can seek me without interference. I want you to make this a lifestyle. There in that altar, I made God a promise. I will, God. There in that early hour, began to pray and seek the face of God. Well, at that time, folks had told me my wife's mother had been a supporter over the years of Brother B.H. Clendenin. I'd heard this name. Never had gone to a convention. People told me about, you need to come. God will meet you there. Well, we weren't able to go for a period of time. Well, then we go to that convention. He's preaching about the early morning prayer meeting. I thought, God, this is a confirmation of what you've said to my heart. It's confirming that. Now, here I'm watching the ministry of this man of God. Early morning prayer meeting fastens that upon this great school of Christ that's gone in over 100 countries of the world, starting those school of Christ studies, 155 lessons, 3 weeks locked in to study every morning. We're going to have to get back to we understand the absolute vital importance of what we're doing. If there can be no lines drawn in the sand, then there are no parameters for truth or a lie. Amen. Somebody going to have to stand, draw a line and say, this is the way we're going to do it. I remember Joshua said, you choose what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Come on, somebody. Amen. So it drew that line with a prayer meeting. Well, Brother Clendenin passed on. And for the most part, in so many areas, so did that prayer meeting. I told my wife, we were engaged in this conversation. Now, God spoke to us individually to maintain that. This man operated a prayer meeting in a public setting where men and women were brought into it. If you're going to go down to that convention, you're going to pray in that early hour. If you're going to the school of Christ, you're going to pray in that early hour. Now the talk has been, we want that fellowship. We want to enjoy fellowship and enjoy one another. I understand that. When I go to the conventions or revivals, things of that nature, I go to enjoy that fellowship of like believers, of men of God, of ministers of the Word. I can talk to them. We can share together. But saints, if we lose sight of that early hour with God, we'll lose a characteristic that'll cause us to miss an intimate place of His glory. We cannot do that. I encourage you tonight, saint, somewhere along this way, and I don't dig in. You've told me. I don't tell you what time to pray. If I've got to tell you ever move to make saints, it's not in that heart. heart anyway. The challenge has got to be laid, but somebody going to have to pick up a challenge and run with it. But that early morning prayer meeting, I've said in times past, as an evangelist, I said, you can take away this evangelistic feel, but do not take away my early morning prayer meeting. It is a substance of life. Amen. Now, in this stage of things, we have our own family prayer, but I've shared with you along the line, when that door opens, that mind's already made up. When we were in Arkansas at our church, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, we were there 6 o'clock in the morning as people would gather in for that time of prayer. God would move in that place. I talked to a man just the other day. He was describing a prayer meeting. He said, well, it was kind of a lull, kind of quiet, kind of sedate, and all of these things. I thought, God, that's marking the condition of our spiritual state. Often, saints, we're intimidated by the voice that rises up to give God a spontaneous praise or prayer. We don't want a lifted voice. We don't want to hear somebody breaking through because we're intimidated by that. I can't pray when somebody's praying out loud. Hear me, saints of God, in that early church, when they began to pray, you could hear it miles off. The Bible says the house was shaken where they prayed. They lifted up their voice unto God. Nobody was worried about what the other one was doing. They were locked in prayer unto God. Amen. It set the tone for their life. It set the tone in that home. It placed a spirit upon the thoughts of their mind. It conveyed them into that day. They started that day having touched the throne of God. Now hear me, saints. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but it absolutely makes a difference what you do in that early time with God. It is not enough to get up and stumble through the house and go through some spiritual calisthenics and then move off in the direction of your will. But saints, it's absolutely vital that in that prayer meeting, you access the throne of God. It must be accessed. Whatever you've got to do, you've got to break through into the presence of God. That if you do not, all you've got is a hollow session. And nobody wants to get up in the morning with an expectation, I've got to spend empty moments in an altar somewhere. But saints, when you break through continually into the presence of God, it'll be the greatest time of your day. Folgers could never touch what God can do for you in the breaking hours of the morning when you touch the throne of grace. If you believe it, can you shout amen? I am convinced the only church, the only man or woman of God that is going to hear from the throne today in that instantaneous, intimate quarter with God is going to be a praying church. It's going to be a praying people. I'm not talking about after you've been through 5 or 10 conversations with the wife, you've been on the phone 3 or 4 hours, you've laid out the details of the day, you've brushed your teeth 3 or 4 times, you've had breakfast and read the morning newspaper. I'm talking about you get out of the bed, amen. You do little before you hit that altar, amen. You don't talk to each other. There's no good mornings. How are you doings? Amen. The first one you talk to is Almighty God, amen. We break the morning with conversation in the presence of the Lord. Saints, first, I know we have a church today that's hard to do. That's difficult to break through. You get up for a while, it seems to be just work. You're trying to break through, but you can't. Saints, what we're trying to do, what we've got to do, what we've got to get back to, is we must come back to a place where the church of God has always existed. You say, now, Pastor, the church is not there anymore. No, saints, we've got to understand the church is always there. The church that we call the church may not be there. The steeple and the pew may not be there. The congregational denomination may not be there. The society of the fellowship of the church may not be there. But can I tell you, in every generation of God's definition, it has always dwelled in that holy place. It's always been a praying church. God only recognizes one. Amen. That's one full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. If you look at the 7 churches of Revelation, God was speaking to, he's looking for one thing. I want to see my son in you. That's all I'm looking for. Friends, and if I'm going to spend time in the presence of the Lord, it's going to happen in that prayer meeting. If you believe it, can you shout amen? Saints, if I were to encourage or challenge you tonight Pastor, if I have a personal revival, where do I begin? I'll tell you, the early morning prayer meeting. If you can break through there, saint of God, you can break through anywhere. But if you don't break through there, you'll not break through anywhere. Come on, saints. Breaking through there gives you sensitivity here. It is often there that God gives you the revelation here. Amen. Sometimes it's those waking moments that God speaks a truth into your mind. Amen. Many times it's there that God gives a song. Amen. A song of praise. It's there that a message comes forth. A testimony. Whatever the case may be. A revelation. A discernment. Many times people have said, I would God I had discernment. Saints, let me tell you, most discernment comes from that time spent with God. Most of the time, you'll find discerning capability in the twilight of the morning. You wake up, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think about this person. I've got a red flag, an uneasy feeling. I don't know what to think. So it's you wake up in the morning, determine I'm going to hit the altar in prayer. Most of the time, that discerning spirit of God is speaking a revelation in your heart. You'll know sometime before you ever reach the altar. Or somewhere in the altar, God will speak in a revelation to tell you exactly what to do. We must have that time. If you believe it, can you say amen? Oh my God, let me read it again. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What is that talking about, saints? It's not talking about the well was dry. It was talking about the spiritual water was depleted. Amen. There was no spiritual rain coming down. Amen. That's talking about you get on what's called Christian television saying to God, I'm going to tell you what's coming out. That's putrid. Amen. You know, there's some folks that I talk to, they want to tell me about the latest thing they heard on this television. They're stupid. Those are stupid preachers, and stupid people listen to stupid preachers. Amen. I'm not being mean, saints. I'm telling you the truth. There comes a time it's got to be to cut stupidity. And it's sending people into more stupidity. After a while, we believe in stupidity. And you feast on stupidity, you become stupid. Amen. Then after what you eat, you become. Come on, saints. And we continue to listen to that and watch that, and it comes out of our own mouth. We regurgitate what we fill our minds with, and it continues on. So here we are, we're trying to get it on what we call Christian television, and we're being sent that stuff. Therefore, we turn that off. If something comes in our head, that's not the direction, we turn it off. So we start looking for a church. And many of the churches we're going to don't have stupidity in them, but they're dead. My God, they're dead. That pulpit will always manifest what goes on in the prayer closet and what goes into that mind. Amen. Where'd they get that? Where'd that thought come from? Amen. If we're quoting Christian television today, that's where our revelation's coming from. Come on, church. That's where we're getting our message. I can tell you, saints of God, if our revelation is coming from a man on Christian television, we're not praying. No way. It's not happening. Saints, if I'm getting it from somebody else, if somebody's putting into my head over that, we've sold out that, it's sold out a lie, it's come down that way, it's sold out. My God, we're in a dry and a thirsty land. So we go into churches, we sit down, and it's dead and dry and cold. It doesn't have a strange spirit, but it's got a dead spirit. I mean, you walk in that place, and it appears it just sucks you dry. You sit down in that pew, and it's just sucking the life out of you. Every song, every testimony, every word, the Sunday school class, I'm not telling you every church, but saints, I'm going to tell you, you've got to look hard and long to find the truth. Amen. Saints, truth doesn't stop in one place. If all you get out of a church is the truth from the pulpit, it's ultimately a lie. Saints, I've watched this with great consternation over a period of long years. I've watched this in the pulpit, and I've told you along. I've been in churches that I've been perplexed. I've heard truth come from the pulpit, but I watch the youth department and I listen to the worship and I realize those two do not equal each other. There's an error in the house. There's an error. Saints, anytime we live with an error in the house, Now, that's carried along for a period of time, and I've watched this. I've watched it in individual lives. I've watched it in denominations, and I've watched it in churches. You get a church that has had the truth, but there's an error in the house. Then what Bible story can we draw from? I'll tell you, Eli. Eli is the Bible story to draw from. You watch it. If you'll know if you got an Eli in the church because you got Hophni and Phinehas in the youth department. Come on, saints. Eli come up in the old school. He knew that God was speaking to Samuel, but he wouldn't put his hand on Hophni and Phinehas. He became a fat man because he was eating of the fat of those sacrifices. He fell and broke his neck when he heard the ark was taken away. He becoming blind more than naturally. He became blind spiritually. We're watching that. We want to preach this. That's the reason we've got the early morning traditional worship, and we've got the later, more contemporary. Why is that? Because Eli's behind the pulpit. He's trying to feed everybody what they want. Saints, we've got to come back to what thus saith the word of the Lord. If you believe it, can you say amen? So here we are in a place of dry holes, dry water. You go down the road and you're trying. Oh my God, I'm telling you, on Sunday morning, I'll go from the, I've been on AM and FM, and I'm going from one station to the next trying to hear gospel music that I can listen to. Going through that, I mean, if it's not so southern country, you'd think they just stumbled out of the bar into the pulpit the next Sunday morning, or it's some temporary foolishness, God not in 100 miles of the place, or it's so dead you couldn't touch it, your lips dry up just listening to the thing. All that, you're trying to buy some gospel, you try to go, I've been in some of these Christian bookstores, and you walk in, I'd rather listen to country or rock and roll than I had subject myself to some of that stuff we call Christian music today, because it entertains itself in the house of God. It becomes more of a travesty. Can somebody say amen? All of this, we're watching it, this popularity. We have these Christian entertainers that are being interviewed on television, and they're asked pointed questions because these interviewers already have no respect for those that they're interviewing. They know what's going to come out of that mouth, and they know who to interview, and they can ask the pointed questions because they continue to indulge themselves in their own lie. My God, we have this, saints. If you sit down and talk to somebody who still has a desire for God, you can hear this lament of the voice. Where do I go? What do I listen to? Who do I talk to? Friends have fallen out by the left and on the right. They're no longer going. They've gotten exhausted. They've been worn out in well-doing. Friend, their men of God left the pulpit today because they said nobody wants to serve God. Nobody wants to live for God. Hear me, saints of God. One of the greatest struggles that I've had to deal with. I'm not even comfortable telling you this, but I believe that you need to know. One of the greatest struggles that I've had to grapple with is for me to know that to be a pastor of a church, it is not about the people. Now don't say amen, because you don't understand what I'm saying until I tell you. To pastor a church, it's not about the people. I've always believed the only way you're a pastor if you've got people. Saints, the only way you're a pastor is if you're called of God. Come on. Just because you have people doesn't make you a pastor. Just because you have sheep doesn't make you a shepherd. You could be a hireling. Hear me. It's the call of God. Saints, if we ever lose sight of that, we lost sight of it, we begin to feel after the people, put our thermometer into the people, see what they wanted, see what we could get away with, see how far we could push it, how much we could look like a leader, amen. As long as we assimilated to those who had the money or the prestige or the power, we could just ride on that wave and play that little game. It's all about the people. Well, that family's going to leave. If they leave, 3 or 4 of the family's going to leave. So I need to suffice that little member of the family. Saints, we ever get that ideology inside of our head, we've lost the whole thing. It's all out the door. It's all backslidden and it's going to hell. Might as well break up the thing, just sell all of the stuff and go to the house. You go someplace else because you have no need to be here. Saints, it's not about the people. It's about the will of God. Amen. We get the will and the word of God right, then the only thing that will be comfortable inside this house is the thing that is interested in doing the same. If you believe it, can you say amen? Friends, I'm not here today to hold a pop popularity contest, because I can tell you, as a pastor of a church that'll hold this line, there are times that I will be very unpopular. There are times I'll be popular 6 months. 6 months later, I'll be unpopular with the same people, because the same line of truth has to be held no matter what. And the only kind of folks that are going to want to be in part of that are those who are hungry for the same thing. If you believe it, can you say amen? Friends, we're living in a time of no water, and we've got to find the resource. Isaac's got to dig his own well, and people have got to experience God. That tells me, saints, you and I are going to have to go back to that early morning prayer meeting. There's no way around it. Can somebody say amen? I tell you tonight, you be careful of everything you put inside your head. You be careful of the music that you listen to. You know what's going on. You know what's going on inside that life. Nicodemus was wiser than most of the church. He saw the miracles that Jesus did. And then by night, he went to find out the man behind the miracle. We want to know what you're about. Amen. Come on, saints. Now, he's been called a coward because he came at night. But saints, on the other hand, he was leaving behind everything he knew. He was jeopardizing everything he is born into. By night, he came to find out the man behind the miracle. Saints, you and I are going to have to do the same. You need to know who's singing to you. You need to know who you're allowing to preach to you. You need to know who's written that Christian book. Come on, saints. Who wrote the commentary you're reading? Saints, if the author's not right, nothing he says will be. Many times the most dangerous to those who live the closest, but one error has led them into deep sin. Come on, saints. Many times, you watch this through the, I've watched this more as never before over the last several years. The most dangerous people are those who have once lived closest to the throne. That's why Moses smiting the rock when God said, speak to it, God cut him off, said, you've offended. You've offended because you didn't honor me before the people. Moses understood because he walked with God. I believe Moses understood inside of his nature, Lord, I know why you're having to do this. Saints, you and I must walk in that holy place. We've got to recover ground that's been lost. Oh, my God. I'm talking about David. I'm talking about a warrior king. I'm talking about the man that slew Goliath. I'm talking about the one that cut his head off. I'm talking about the one that won in many in battlements against the Philistines. Oh, God. I'm talking about the champion of Israel. I'm talking about the harpist, amen. I'm talking about a goodly man and a warrior king. I'm talking about a man who is goodly in his countenance. I'm talking about a man of wisdom. All of this. Here's a man, knew what it was to go to battle, but here he is in his most intimate source. David rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than he had dragged Goliath's head around in his hand. He'd rather be in the temple of the courts of God than he had be in his chariot fighting these great battles wherein he's given many victories. Oh my God, I'm talking about a man who had a heart after God. Come on, church. I'm talking about a man who's got a heart after him. Amen. That's what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about somebody who loved God. David was here in his own intimate place. This is where it'd rather be. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. I'm surrounded by dearth. Oh God, I've got to have you. Verse 2, to see thy power and my glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. God, I don't want my time in your presence only be contained within those few hours of the house of God. I need you today in my living room. I need you in my backyard. God, I need you when I get in my automobile. It's not time for prayer when I'm driving down the road. I should have took care of that a long time before now, but I'm going to need you when I'm going down the road, and my thoughts are going to be on you. Come on, saints. I need you when I'm there in the warehouse. I need there in the office cubicle. I need you there in the ditch. I need you there in the checkout aisle. I need you there at the sewing room. My God, I need you mowing the lawn. Oh God, I need you down by the fishing hole. I need you, Lord, as I have seen you in the sanctuary. Oh my God, saints, there ought to be a prayer in our heart, Lord, that you can fill this living room like you did the upper room. Hallelujah. As I saw you move Sunday night, I can see you move Tuesday morning. Oh my my God, as you fill the sanctuary with your glory, fill this house with the same. As you rested in Shekinah glory upon the house of God, even so let your fire rest upon this residence, that men may know that God is alive, because there's a man or woman who seek the face of God. If you believe, would you give him a praise? Mandale dure Sunday. Oh God. Oh my God. Oh God. Oh God. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. Oh God. Oh Lord, lift your hands with me across this room. Come on, church. Somebody ought to already be in an attitude of worship right now. You don't need prompting. Nobody needs to play a piano. The Holy Ghost prompts a man or woman of God who's hungry. Oh, you ought to be well prompted tonight if your spirit's keen to the moving of the Holy Ghost. If not, you need to return to that early morning prayer and say, Pastor, I have that. But do you break through there? Does God show up there? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, God, the must needs be. Oh, Lord. I want you to stand on your feet with me across this room. Lift your heart and your hands in the throne room of his presence. Come on, somebody. It's time to seek the Lord. I don't care from where you are, what's going on in your life, or where your spirit is, or what your prayer meeting consists of. Tonight is the night, saint of God. You can start right here. Amen. You can determine right here. Those things gonna change. Oh, God Almighty, I feel the challenge of the Holy Ghost. I feel that unction. God, I can see David standing there with his sword at his side, his crown on his head, looking in my direction with a come on, boy. Oh, my God Almighty. Oh, God. I can see Hannah, who gave the sacrifice of her son and of herself and her womb, looking in our direction, saying, oh my God, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Oh my God, you're going to take that ultimate sacrifice to get what you're after, get what God's after. Come on, saint of God. Oh my God, somebody ought to be prompted to praise tonight. Somebody ought to be prompted into the presence of the Lord. You don't need an invitation. You've already been given one. Surely the Lord is in this house to move in this place. Oh, my God Almighty. My God Almighty. My God Almighty. My God Almighty. Lo sere berea. Mandele vieti alla serre chiara sata. Yele berre malacanadat sandole viata la boca. Yele berre viasi malacanadat sandole bacon sata. Yeri via se alla bocori ansando la bocca. Mandale vieri chieti alla bocca sarà mai alzata. Yela mala sonna mandola bocori via sata. Yeri vi chiate siri alla bocca sata. Won't you to obey God tonight in this altar service? It's already began. You move at the unction of the Holy Ghost. Stay at the speed of the voice of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, hear his voice and obey. Oh my God. Mando bele keri asera tolama. Marike ala sandala boko. Yele bi atala dala boko sata. Oh my God. Great God. Oh, Mande say Elako. Yela bedre si malakerita se mayela dola boko maya se. Yeri kia sandola boko ria se eti alako mayera sai. Oh, God.